Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I thought the meetings were frank, they were constructive, and what they did was narrow the issues and clarify the issues that are still outstanding. I remain confident that if we're serious about getting something done,
live in your own world, you're confident.
Complete.
You screwed up the whole world. Confident.
And get it passed and avert a shutdown.
Get it passed.
This really is a civil war fight. This is to shut the federal government down to make their point, the ideological, religious point.
The district residents are being treated as colonists of the Congress of the United States, and we're absolutely outraged. This is the functional equivalent of bombing innocent civilians.
It just shows you what a low IQ equals in Washington. You got Jesse High Jackson, totally angry that Obama paid homage to Al Gutterat Sharpton over the weekend and bypassed him. You got Eleanor Holmes Norton saying it's the equivalent of bombing civilians. This is what shows you what a low IQ equals in Congress and why we're in such trouble. And at the same time, the imposter is planning a family vacation in Williamsburg this weekend. The leader of the free world needs some rest and relaxation from the difficult week that he's had. Welcome to the program. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I suggest you call as early as you can. I was driving down the interstate today. Is anyone out there listening? If you're listening, I want you to call 1-800-449-8255. Show me with your phone call that you're out there. This is Michael Savage. I'm not working for myself. I'm working for the millions of loyal fans that I have. I was driving down the interstate today and glanced over a large truck. It was carrying a large, large, heavy load of massive concrete pipes, and I wondered at the beautiful manufacturing capacity we still have in the United States of America. I'm talking about 20-foot diameter pipes. So as you would on a highway, you pull alongside the truck, then you pull alongside the cab, and you always look at the drivers. I do anyway. I look inside, and I see a big, older black man, and then I notice on his door there was a hand-painted sign on the door in the paint that said, "Real men love Jesus," and I thought about it. And I thought that the literalists don't understand that it doesn't matter whether or not Jesus really lived, or whether Jesus was exactly the way the Bible says he was, whether he came back from the dead or didn't come back from the dead. What matters is that Jesus is a concept, and that the concept is what's important about religion. It is the concept of Jesus that's important, because if that's what makes a man able to get up in the morning, brush his teeth, comb his hair, kiss his wife, kiss his children, send them off to school, and go to work every day without killing himself or hurting anybody or committing any crimes, if that's what loving Jesus means, if that's what religion means in general, then you should all embrace Jesus. You see, that's what religion means. It's a concept. And forget about literalism, because literalism will kill you. You can always pick an argument aside. You can always say cynically, "I don't know if Jesus existed." You could say it was a myth. You could say it's all made up. Then what does that leave you with? What motivates you to get through the day? Most people don't understand that it's all about the concept of the religion that permits people to function. At least that's one man's opinion. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com and go to the hardcore news stories that I put up. Base in the hole, New York Post. President Obama's approval ratings amongst black voters plummeted last month to their lowest levels ever, while his support among Hispanics took a tumble in the same period. So his base core has crumbled. And where does this imposter go over the weekend? He goes to the gutter rat, Al Sharpton, who was involved in the false accusations with Tawana Brawley, making up a story that is so racist he should have gone away to jail for 20 years, as far as I'm concerned. He said that the detective Pagonis had smeared fecal matter on Tawana Brawley, Al Sharpton did, and that he oppressed her in other ways. Al Sharpton was also involved, so far as I can recollect, in the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire, standing outside with a bullhorn egging on the rioters. And I realize he took a weight loss diet. I realize he goes on the Leprechaun show on a regular basis. And so how he's reinvented himself to the extent that you're supposed to forget all of his past. I'm going to ask you a question. All of you ne'er-do-wells out there who are communist socialists because you resent anybody who makes a living and has done better than you. Let me ask you a question, all right? And then we'll have a nice time today. Are you ready for this? Here's a simple question. What if during the last election, George W. Bush had invited, rather had gone to David Duke's meeting hall somewhere in a beer hall, and he shook David Duke's hand, and he saluted David Duke as a great civil rights activist, a great activist for the white people. Tell me what would have happened with the vermin in the media. Do I have to remind you what the vermin in the media would have said if George Bush had done with David Duke what Barack Hussein Obama, the imposter, has done by visiting the gutter rat Al Sharpton? Now let's move on. On the top right of MichaelSavage.com, Russia wants red button rights for U.S. missile defense system. I don't think you understand what's going on. Russia wants the right to influence our defense shield on a day-to-day operational basis. Russia wants the right to override our deterrent system over Europe. FBI recording of jihad bomber lost because batteries died. See cell phone video of Portland terror suspect's anti-U.S. rant. Trump talks with RNC chief. Okay, good for him. Reid says women's health is at stake. And there's so much more on the website. Here's one that you should be for certain you'll never see in your local paper. There were 15 children wounded, 11 people died Thursday in Rio de Janeiro. An armed man attacked the school in Rio Lanyango in the poor suburbs of Rio de Janeiro. He had recently converted to, fill in the blank, Christianity? No. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a short answer test. Okay, he shot 15 people, killed 11 children in the school in outside of Rio de Janeiro. He had recently converted to a religion. It's a short answer test. A, was the religion Christianity? B, Buddhism? C, Judaism? 4, Hinduism? Or 5, Islam? Next story. Security forces in Syria shoot dead more than a dozen protesters. No NATO bombs? The imposter didn't fire any missiles at Syria, did he? Well, you get the drift of what's on the website. It's terrible. It's ugly. It's depressing. It's depressing. It's horrible what's going on. Obama has destroyed the United States and the world. Obama has destroyed the United States and the world, and he's not through yet. Like a child who takes apart watches, beautiful Swiss watches he had nothing to do with creating or making, he takes apart one watch after another and leaves them apart on the table because he doesn't know how to put them together again. We could say the president is like Humpty Dumpty. Now, many of you are confused out there because you fear that any criticism of Obama is racist. That's because you've been brainwashed and intimidated by the radical left. Fortunately for you, I haven't been brainwashed nor intimidated by anybody. And the reason is because I am an immigrant son, and also because I've been oppressed by this society from day one, only I overcame my oppression by hard work. They say that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Hey, I'll say amen to that. And let me say something else on the Savage Nation right out the door. Let's say you're a black person and you hear me criticizing Obama. Your instincts are to say he's criticizing Obama because he's black. Well, I'll ask you a question. How is it that had Colonel Allen West, and I know where Allen West was born. We know where his birth certificate resides. We know that Colonel Allen West served in the U.S. military for 18 years. We know he's a war hero. Colonel Allen West and his wife and children came to dinner in my house. How do you explain that? Can anyone explain that? And all of you knee-jerk liberals who are so quick to call anyone who criticizes Obama a racist, when was the last time you had a black man to dinner? Is that an embarrassing question? Does it make you wince? Does it make you wince and suck air in and go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God? I hope it makes you wince. By the way, those of you out there who are interested in the truth, you want to know what real racism is? Here's real racism. White powder found in congressman's office in Florida. They don't say which congressman because it's the Associated Pukes, the AP, the Associated communists. White powder found in congressman's office. They don't say Republican. They don't say black congressman. They say authorities are responding to a congressman's office in Florida after a letter containing some type of white powder was discovered. Then they go down and they say Republican Alan West's office to check whether the letter had any dangerous substance. Police are on. West says the letter contained derogatory comments about the politician and contained the word anthrax. West says the letter was opened by a campaign staffer. West is a freshman congressman and Tea Party favorite who swept incumbent Representative Ron Klein, who last we heard is running a delicatessen in Bensonhurst, from office. West was in Washington when the letter was opened. He says in a news release he is deeply disturbed by the incident. That's racism. That's pure, unadulterated hate mail. Racism, if we had a legitimate Justice Department, Eric Holder would be investigating. But as you well know, Eric Holder doesn't investigate any crimes that don't advance the agenda of the communists. Now, you want to talk about the budget battle? We can talk about that. We can talk about shutting down the government. I say shut her down. You see, when a machine is overheated, I know enough about machinery to tell you this. When a machine is overheated, what you do is you shut it down until it cools down. When you have a large truck careening out of control down off a mountain pass and you can't slow her down, you shut her down. And you drive her onto a sand ramp on the side of the road. And you let the truck quiet down, calm down, cool down. The heat cool down, the motor cool down, and then you start the engine up again and you drive it modestly and correctly. This government is out of control. This truck is careening out of control. The engine's about to explode. There is nobody driving at the wheel. Shut her down. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is Michael Savage, Rock and Roll Friday. I say shut her down. When a truck is overheated, you shut her down before the engine explodes. We have a government that needs to be shut down because the economy, as you well know, is no longer existent. It's not a real economy. It's a fake economy. It's built on just a house of cards. Let's put it to you that way. I told you that Bush started the process. Actually, he didn't start it. He almost destroyed the country while he was in power. Bush spent more in the last 2 years of his administration and the previous three administrations. I was opposed to it. I criticized Bush. Bush punished me for it. I know what happened. Then along came Obama, who in the month of October of 2010, the October of 2010, he spent more than all of the year 2008. Obama spent more money in 1 month in the last year than all of 2008. It's an act of criminality to continue this, and it needs to be shut down, in my opinion. Debbie in Sacramento, thanks for calling. What's on the Savage Nation? What's on your mind?
I wanted to thank you. The best part about being laid off is I have an opportunity to listen to you more, and I feel as though you grab me by my shirt collar and wake me up and shake all of us to, what's going on? What is the real truth? And I really appreciate that, Mike. I really do.
Well, I give you my truth. I give you one man's opinion, which is my truth. And if it resonates with you, it must be your truth. It's that simple. Thank you for the call. It's appreciated. Now on to Indiana on the Savage Nation, America's favorite talk show. James in Indiana, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing, Michael?
Go with your point. I don't answer how I'm doing. This is not Breaker
okay,
One.
No,
I'm not
I
in a truck. What's
it,
on your what's on your mind? Don't ask me how I am. Stop. It's a rule for you and everybody else. This is a talk show, not your friend. Don't know you. What's on your mind?
And this whole budget crisis thing that is going on is affecting them very much. A lot of these guys budget their money well, and the fact that they can't get this budget passed is affecting them in a negative way. That's all I got.
I don't understand, James. Start again. What guys are you speaking of? Who will be hurt if the government is shut down?
The service members. I'm a sergeant in the Army, and I work at a mobilization base of Guard and Reservists. And these guys that are coming
well, as
in,
you well know, this is a ploy being put out by the Democrats to make us feel that the bullets will stop flying, the planes will stop flying, the ships will stop moving if the government is shut down. That's a total lie because the government has the capacity to issue checks to any division that it wishes to and cut them off on the other side as well. They can keep the military running. They're doing that to scare you into voting for Obama. You should know better than that.
I do. I've listened to you for a long time. I do know that.
All right. Well, don't worry about the scare tactics. I'll tell you who's behind scaring you guys in the Army. Senator Dianne Feinstein, who is not one of my favorite people, owing to the contractors, the fact that she's fattened herself like a beast of biblical proportions. Her personal wealth has grown astronomically since she has become a U.S. senator. Not only has her personal wealth grown, but that of her family has grown beyond those of ancient kings. I want you to listen to what Dianne Feinstein has to say about the looming government shutdown. Go ahead, please.
As chairman of the Intelligence Committee, I can tell you there are thousands, tens of thousands of contractors. I ran into one the other night who said, I have 700 people, we're going to be shut down. There is a whole part of
this. Sure, Dianne, you would know something about contractors, wouldn't you, darling? Of all the senators, you on the Intelligence Committee, you would know which contractors are going to get hurt, wouldn't you, darling? And how many of these contractors are you on a first-name basis with? Moreover, Dianne Feinstein, why do you know contractors if you're on the Intelligence Committee? What the hell do you have to do with contracting? Oh, well, you're asking a question they'd ask in a banana republic. No, it's a question you'd ask in a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I feel I'm doing the people a service. Dianne Feinstein, how do you know 700 people, or how do you know so many contractors? How do you know them on such an intimate level if they're going to tell you they're going to lose workers? How do you know contractors, Dianne Feinstein, if you are chairman, so-called, of the Intelligence Committee? Look at the state we're in, that Dianne Feinstein, a gunophobe of the highest order, a woman who has used almost her entire life to hate guns, fear guns, close guns, shut guns, steal guns, shotguns, your gun, my gun, his gun, take the gun. Here's a woman who is the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee who is a gunophobe who does not want the American citizen armed. But let's put that issue aside for the moment. She says she's spoken to contractors who say a government shutdown will cost them jobs. Really, Dianne? And that's your problem? Why is that your problem, Dianne? How about Richard Blum? Any problem for him, Dianne?
Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday, and I say shut her down. And I don't say it just to be cavalier. I don't say it to be flippant. I say it for simple reasons. The reason is that we had an election in October, November, and there was a revolution that occurred, or shall I say a counter-revolution. The real Americans stood up, and were trying to take the government back from the socialists. They threw out 100 socialist congressmen and governors. 100 got thrown out. Obama's agenda got stopped cold in its tracks, by and large. The Democrat Party is in free fall. Let's not pretend there was not a revolution at the ballot box last November. And the new guys and the new gals in Congress are doing exactly what we, the American people, that is, we, the American people, who work for a living, we, the American people, who pay the taxes so that the grifters can vote in the communists, we say, shut her down. We say, no more, no more, no more. You've taxed us to death. You've spent us to death. You're not going to do it anymore. Shut her down. The Republicans are doing the will of the people. The Democrats are doing the will of the grifter. New York WOR, Zach, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I just want to say thank you, man. I feel tired all day, and I turn you on, and for, like, at least a moment, I get some energy, because you're the only one that, like, has passion. You know, everyone else is just like so calm, and it's not real. You know, you have passion. At least gives me something.
Well, when you say, you mean with the voice, the monotone, the laconic voice, like la la la. What do you mean, in radio, or you mean in Congress?
In everything. It's like even like, you know, when people call your show and they're like, "How are you?" and you're like, "Don't tell, I'm not your friend. Just get your point." I love it. It's the truth.
Well, that's right. I don't know who the people are. This is the first rule of my show is don't ask me how I am. My grandmother was from another country. She used to tell me when I was a little boy, don't ask me how I am. She would, if somebody asked my grandmother, God rest her soul, how are you? She'd say, how should I be? She never answered a question. She turned it into another question. Typical Russian. I can't help it. She came from a country of suspicious people.
I listen to...
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a shot of energy because either you do it or you don't do it. You know, I was once a young teacher. I don't want to go into a whole story. And I'll never forget the first teaching job I had was in a junior high school somewhere in New York. And I remember talking to the teachers. I was a very young guy, like 20, 21, my first or second job. No, I had been a social worker first. I know you don't believe it. Michael Savage was a social worker? Yeah, I wrote checks for bums on welfare. That's right, on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. That's right. I was a social worker. Then I was a teacher. I worked in all minority schools. That's right. You? Immigrant son? How could that be? Gee, I thought Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson had that that part covered. Anyway, I go in the lunchroom or wherever they all are, the teacher's room, and an older teacher was a very nice guy, said to me, listen here, kid, come here. He said, in this profession, either you're devoted or you're demented. I said, what does that mean? He said, either you're devoted to teaching or you're one of these demented teachers who just reads from a lesson plan over and over again until you're like a dead person. And he was right. And it's the same in every field, to be honest with you. Same in talk radio. Either you're devoted or demented. And if you're demented, you should get out from behind the microphone and give someone younger a chance. That's what I say. And the day I can't do this with passion is the day I will leave. Now, I've been off the air for a couple of days. I was traveling. Then I was a little under the weather. I come back and give you 110%, or I don't want to be on the air. It's as simple as that. And that's why I'm giving you a lot of energy right now, because you need it. We're in a crisis mode. We have an imposter in the White House. We don't even know where he was born. His grandmother in Kenya says he was born in Kenya. And I'm supposed to say this is not an issue. Even CNN, as left-wing as they are, CNN says, according to their polls, 1 out of 5 don't think Obama was born in the United States. 1 out of 5, that's according to a fake left-wing CNN poll, which means it's probably 3 out of 5 across the country of people who actually vote are pretty sure he's not a citizen and not qualified to be president. And I'm going to tell you something else about this issue. I salute Donald Trump for having brought it up. I know that they're saying, how dare you become a birther? Good for him, and I'll tell you why. How hard is it for the president to produce a real birth certificate? And here's the real question. A Hawaiian senator asked this. And I'm going to ask the question because it made sense to me. Why would anyone spend millions of dollars in legal fees to prevent anyone from getting at their real birth certificate, their real Occidental College records, their real Columbia University records, their real Columbia Law Review essays? Why would anyone spend millions of dollars covering that up? Aren't you people stupid to not even want to know whether or not this man is a citizen, or whether or not the man actually went to Columbia? Whether he actually passed the course? Don't you want to know this? And you say, well, okay, let's assume the best and that he is a citizen, was born in Hawaii, was a straight-A student at Columbia and Harvard. Let's say that's true. Well, why wouldn't he want us to see that? I've never heard of a president hiding these records. I have a whole chapter in Trickle Up Poverty talking about his suspicious friendships at Occidental College. I spent a lot of time researching this. He was a very strange man back at Occidental College, Mr. Obama was. In many ways, a very strange man. And by the way, what was he doing in Pakistan for that interval? What did he do in Pakistan for that interval? What was the president of the United States doing in Pakistan during a certain interval during his college years? I don't think these are invalid questions. If we had a legitimate intelligence community, we wouldn't even be asking these questions. If we had an independent intelligence community, we wouldn't be asking these questions. And if we lived in a legitimate democracy, we wouldn't have to ask these questions. But neither of those two things I just stated are true. What worries me most is what I said to you prior to the election, because I'm a straightforward guy, I'm a clear thinker, and I'm basically a practical, down-to-earth guy who asked a simple question. If a man associated with known terrorists like Bill Ayers, if a man associated with known radicals as Obama did, if a man associated with known communists, as Obama did, he could not even get a job to become an FBI agent. A lowly FBI agent in the most distant field office, he couldn't qualify to be an FBI agent. Does this make me an evil man, a subversive man, or a patriot to ask these questions? I'm asking the questions that all of America is asking. Anybody with an IQ over 90 is asking this question. Anybody with a reasonable brain would want a simple answer to it. And when you're saying, well, what's this to the birth? Is he really born here? What does it matter? Well, what matters is if he wasn't born, he was not qualified to be president, and he would have to resign. And then we'd have Biden. Okay, I mean, that's a second set of problems. He'd have to put down his water gun. He'd have to come in from the cold, and he'd have to sit in the desk chair for a day at a time. I don't know if that could happen. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know. And the president could answer this question very simply. He could stop spending millions of dollars blocking the questions and answer it. That's all. Why is it so hard? That's all. 1-800-449-8255 or michaelsavage.com. It's Rock and Roll Friday. What did you just play, Charles? At the Hop? What did you just play? At the Hop. I had too many years of that. How about any other rock and roll from the old archives? Well, I'm looking for a call on the Savage Nation. Let's go to, oh, I don't care, anywhere. Chicago. Jim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, I just want to ask about, you know, if the government shuts down and the troops aren't getting paid, isn't that a breach of contract? Then they can walk off.
Okay, I'll answer the question. I will answer the question again. The scare tactics being used by you and the other Democrat operatives is very clear. The troops will get paid. The troops can get paid. The troops are a separate line item. In fact, any line item can be paid that the government wishes to pay. You understand it's paid by computer? They don't actually go to a clerk with a green visor who gives them a bunch of cash. They can send checks to any division of the government that they wish to, even while the government shut down. The military is a separate branch of government. In fact, it's not even a division of the government in that regard. The checks can be delineated by computer, and they can go out to all the troops. Why is that so hard to figure out?
I agree. I agree with you 100%. That's why
the troops are going to get paid. It's an hysteria being put out by the Democrats, the illegitimate Democrats, to make you think that the soldiers will stop firing their rifles, the planes will stop flying, the ships will stop sailing, and everything will come to a halt. Nothing can be farther from the truth. It's a scare tactic, pure and simple. It's aimed for those who would have, let us say, thought that going to see Al Sharpton was the mark of a distinguished president. Anyone who thinks that visiting Al Sharpton is the mark of a distinguished president would think that shutting down the military is going to happen as a result of shutting down the government, so to speak. Many aspects of the government will continue to function. It's all scare tactics. You know, you actually looked at it. I looked at a list of things that wouldn't happen. Big deal. What, the national parks wouldn't be open? When was the last time you went to a national park? You need to have an armed guard to go to a national park today if you're going to camp at a national park, because many of them have been taken over by drug gangs who are raising marijuana in the backwoods. You say, I'm exaggerating? Yes, I'm exaggerating. You go camp at a national park. You're not going to find me in there. There are many things that will close down temporarily. Big deal. What, are you waiting to run to the national park all of a sudden? That's the highest thing on your list? I say shut it down, close it down. In fact, in trickle-up poverty, I have a plan for controlling the out-of-control spending that was started by the Republicans and is now made astronomically or geometrically worse under Obama and the Demon Cats, which is 4% per year per department. You cut every department. In fact, if I were negotiating for the Republicans right now, I wouldn't be doing this tiddlywinks garbage. It's all nonsense. It's smoke and mirrors. I told you that. The interest last year was higher than, I think, one day of what they're going to save. So it's all nonsense. And they're screaming and yelling anyway. Of course they'll scream and yell because everyone's on the gravy train. I wouldn't do it by dollars. I would do it another way. I would say, here's the mandate. Every department of the United States government, with the exception of active duty military, have to cut 10% of their programs overnight. You figure out who to fire. You decide who to lay off because we're not going to do it. On Monday morning, I want 10% of your budget cut. That's what I would do with every department in the country. And leave it up to the geniuses who run these departments to figure out who gets fired. You're telling me those departments would close down if 10% of the workers were given a furlough or were fired? You're telling me the bloated civil service couldn't function with 10% fewer workers? Nonsense. If you ran the country like a business, not an empire, you could avoid a government shutdown entirely. I call for this in the last chapter of Trickle Up Poverty. You know, I'm re-talking about my book. Because now more than ever, that book is more pertinent than it was when it came out. I wrote it for a time like now. I'm not here to sell you a book. I'm way past caring whether you buy the book or don't buy the book. I'm here because it's the smartest analysis of what's wrong and how to fix it. That's all. So now, I don't want to sit here and argue over this anymore, but I want to just summarize what I have already covered, and that is this. It's a scare tactic to say the soldiers will not be paid. It's a line item, and they can continue to be paid, and they will continue to be paid. They're not even in the government shutdown. It's not in the list of things that would be shut down. It's a complete and total lie. Number two, what actually will be shut down won't affect you one iota, so far as I can tell. Now, what about my opening monologue, The Meaning of Jesus? Did you miss that one? I'll repeat it to you again the minute I come back on the Savage Nation.
Savage. We'll be right back.
let's say there's a government shutdown. What actually closes? What remains open? Will the fighting men have to put down their weapons and go home? The answer is no. It's all scare tactics by the illegitimate. Let's go through some of the things I know for a fact. At the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in San Francisco, which would be typical of all VA medical centers in America, I would assume, spokeswoman Judy Cheery said the hospital would suffer no funding loss and its patients would not be affected by a shutdown. So in other words, it's a selective shutdown. Do you understand it's a shutdown of non-essential employees and non-essential departments? Do you understand the government has a contingency list of non-essential programs and departments and personnel? Don't you understand what this is? It's all nonsense. These are people, some of them, they're nice people. They could be you listening to this show, but they're called non-essential. Okay, now listen to this scare tactic. Military families were frightened after the Department of Defense announced workers would not receive paychecks until Congress appropriates the money. Now, that's a scare tactic because it's not the fighting men who would not get their checks. It's the bureaucrats who do nothing but push papers and lobby for more money in the Defense Department who wouldn't get their checks. Veterans who receive disability benefits may also see their checks delayed, officials said. That's, again, a scare tactic because they have the capacity to send those checks out. Let's see what else would really close down. Okay, let's look at this. Yosemite, National Park Service. Yosemite, they'd kick the campers out. They'd give them 48 hours. I guess all of the illegal aliens who are growing marijuana would have to go home back to their home country and leave behind the refuse that they left in the campground. A spokesman for Alcatraz Cruises, everyone knows Alcatraz Island in San Francisco, said that her company, this is a private company, shuttles 5,000 visitors each day to the infamous former federal penitentiary. But she said, if the Rock Alcatraz is closed late tonight, as federal authorities have warned, her company might offer cruises on its five ships until the island reopens. In other words, we, the taxpayer, are paying a fortune to keep Alcatraz operating so a private company can run tourists to the island of Alcatraz and not give the government 10 cents for the privilege thereof. I would say Alcatraz is a redundant island. It's a pile of garbage. It's just a rock filled with guano. I boat past it on a regular basis. It's a pile of rubbish. Unless it's turned into a gambling casino, I see no reason to keep Alcatraz open at all, ever. Ever. It's an old jail. Since when has a jail become an American icon? Who cares if a private operator wouldn't be able to bring tourists to Alcatraz? What does that matter to me? The same tourists would go on the boats and go around the bay. It's a beautiful bay. They can go see something else. I'm giving you little examples. Okay? So we know that some of the Yosemite, Muir Woods would be closed. Big, big deal. Now listen to this one. Here's a beauty. A spokesman at the U.S. Geological Survey in Menlo Park, California, said the majority of her agency's 9,000 employees, would be furloughed if Congress cannot reach a budget deal extension before tonight's deadline of midnight in Washington, D.C., 9 p.m. Pacific time. And only a skeleton crew would remain to monitor the agency's state-of-the-art computer systems that track global activity. Now, listen to this very carefully. 9,000 employees, they would go home, wouldn't be paid. But she said there will always be a scientist here monitoring the equipment, watching for earthquakes, volcanoes, flooding, any activity connected to natural disasters, she said. But there won't be anyone here to answer the phones and take inquiries from the public. Is anyone listening to this show going to tell me they've been able to get through to the U.S. Geological Survey in the last 10 years? With an actual question. And moreover, we don't need anyone but the skeleton crew in the U.S. Geological Survey. You could fire most of them and keep that little skeleton crew of people watching the computers. And moreover, I ask another question. Do you know of any earthquake, volcano, or flooding that they've ever prevented? Can you name of any volcano, flooding, or earthquake that the U.S. government ever warned you about? This system is so flawed and so useless, it's unbelievable to me. Again, it's an example of a bloated bureaucracy that grew upon itself like a tumor. And it kept hiring more and more people to sit there in offices on their fat behinds, doing basically nothing but watching internet porn and going to conferences in Colorado on global warming. And then they give each other a reward and a grant and they publish papers that are useless. And the next thing you know, they got another 10 employees in the department to monitor more about global warming, et cetera, and so on. I say dump them all, shut her down, keep the skeleton crew. They don't do anything anyway. U.S. Geological Survey with 9,000 employees in the Bay Area alone. 9,000 employees, so far as I know, in the Bay Area, maybe that's the whole country. But, she said, there'll always be a scientist monitoring the equipment, watching for earthquakes, volcanoes, and flooding. What do they need to watch it for? Excuse me. What are they going to do if they do see an earthquake occurred? Tell me what they're going to do. Oh, a volcano is spewing. They're going to tell you that. The government's going to tell you that. There's flooding in your backyard. You need the government to put it out on television. What do we need this department for? Can anyone explain it to me? I mean, come on. There's a certain thing as essential workers and non-essential workers. I agree there's essential aspects of the government. You don't listen to a demagogue who tells you it's like a civil war. That's crap. It's a socialist government. It's bloated. Close her down. Shut her down. Find out what the difference is between essential and non-essential workers. You'll soon find out you don't need most of them. You'll find out that 90% of them don't do anything in most of these departments called non-essential workers. Let them go get a real job. Let them compete in the private sector. We'll see how well they do. Let them go out. I love what they used to say in academia. Well, if we don't pay them well enough at the University of California, they'll take a job in the private sector who is threatening to steal them away. Haven't heard that one in a while. That was always a scream. There never was a job for those deadbeats in the private sector. No one ever wanted them. Because if they had the brains and the drive to get into the private sector, they wouldn't have been teaching at the university, by and large. Not 100% true, about 99% true. About 1% of the professors choose to be professors and are geniuses at it, and they do great work, God bless them. About 99% of them are deadbeats and gold bricks who fundamentally don't do a damn thing, like the U.S. Geological Survey. This is, again, one man's opinion. Either you like it or you don't like it. I've given you my facts. Just remember what I just said. 9,000 employees on the U.S. Geological Survey will be furloughed. But there will be scientists monitoring, watching for earthquakes and volcanoes and flooding. And what's that going to do for you? Is it going to stop an earthquake, a volcano, or flooding? Answer, no. The entire department is useless. In plain English, what did they do with the Japan situation? Nothing. Where was the early warning with Japan? Nowhere.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. Of course, tonight, the big one is expected. What I mean by the big one, which is a government shutdown. And, of course, there's a lot of hysteria and misinformation, and I'm going to try and correct some of it. The fact is that there's a essential and non-essential employee list in federal offices. And the federal offices have already drawn up that list of essential and non-essential. And we find out that the non-essential are actually non-essential, and they should not only be furloughed, they should be laid off permanently, in my opinion. To the 90th percentile, that's true. And I gave you an example in the last hour. Now, they're trying to scare you by saying that it will probably stall paychecks and disability payments to military workers and veterans. Notice they say military workers. That, of course, are not the active duty servicemen. Those are the deadbeats inside the Defense Department who do nothing but pass papers around and see how much money they can grift out of the tax base for contractors that put them in there to begin with. The patronage jobs, in other words. Then they say that national parks will be closed, like Alcatraz. That's really essential, that Alcatraz Island be kept open. That's really essential. Or that Yosemite National Park be kept open for what? That the world's going to come to an end? Before it was a national park, it was Earth. Before it was a national park, it was simply the woods. And people went to it with a tent. They didn't need a parky to tell them how to get to the toilet. Then you go into the departments. I'm giving you an example. They talk about the U.S. Geological Survey in Menlo Park. I got a kick out of that one. The spokesmouth said that a majority of her agency's 9,000 employees, you hear the number? 9,000 employees will be furloughed by midnight tonight, But a skeleton crew would remain to monitor the agency's state-of-the-art computer systems that track global activity. I love the word state-of-the-art. State-of-the-art was current in 1970. And she says, there will always be a scientist here monitoring the equipment, watching for earthquakes, volcanoes, flooding, any activity connected to natural disasters. But there won't be anyone here to answer the phones and take inquiries from the public. Now, this is so comedic, it would take a short novel to actually get through this. But I'll make it as succinct as I can. So the non-essential 9,000 employees would be furloughed, okay? But there will be scientists watching the computers, looking for earthquakes, volcanoes, and flooding. Uh-huh. And what will they do to stop the earthquake, the volcano, or flooding? Answer, nothing. It's called an act of nature. So what do they do anyway? Answer, nothing. In other words, they're like smart college kids who got lucky. They got a patronage job, and they sit in front of a computer all day long, looking at the monitoring computers. Then they go to conferences in Colorado, and they give each other rewards and presentations and prizes. And then before you know it, they're retired working for the private sector, which are the contractors who they rewarded while they're inside a public agency. So, in other words, what do we need them for to begin with? Monitoring earthquakes? They were really accurate with regard to Japan. The last I checked, the U.S. Geological Survey didn't even give us a hint. I saw it on the news, meaning the internet. I saw it on, like, the Drudge Report, and wire services told us that there was an earthquake in Japan. So far as I know, they were still asleep at the U.S. Geological Survey. The whole thing's crazy. So as you study this, you realize that there really is a difference between essential and non-essential employees. Look, don't get me wrong. There are essential government jobs. There's essential government jobs at city, county, and state and federal levels. And then there are non-essential. Police are essential. Absolutely. Particularly with the animals we have roaming the cities right now. The police are more essential than ever. So they're not going to be affected. Federal police, what do they actually do? I don't even know what federal police do, nor do I think we need them, but that's a separate story. 1-800-449-8255. So let's not get carried away with hysteria that is being promulgated by the government itself to make you think, oh, this is going to get hurt, that's going to get hurt, blah, 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 blah. So you can talk about it if you want. Who will be unaffected by government shutdown? Are you ready for the agencies that will actually not be affected by the government shutdown, meaning the checks will still go out? FAA, air traffic control, they will continue to be able to watch internet porn and eat pizza while occasionally monitoring your aircraft as they descend to an airport near you. Yes, the government will continue to permit them to watch internet pornography and eat pizza on the government dole while occasionally monitoring a plane as it descends to an airport near you. FEMA will continue to be in service. They're a very useful agency, as you well know. Always there, Johnny on the spot. Every time there's been a tragedy, no one knew where they were. They missed every one of them. Social Security checks will still go out. Did you hear that? Will go out. So all of you gamblers in Boca Raton, you have nothing to worry about. You'll still be collecting for your dead uncle, your dead father, your dead brother, your dead son. You'll still be collecting for all the relatives who died in 1952 in Brooklyn. Nothing for you to worry about. The National Weather Service weather monitoring will continue. They've been dead accurate, as you well know. Really important. The U.S. Postal Service, Johnny on the spot, will continue mail pickup and delivery, will continue to pollute your neighborhood with their old carbon-generating trucks. I don't know about you, I get my mail at 5:30 every day. Mail I didn't even want comes at 5:30. Every mail that I do want comes by email instantly. Mail I don't want comes by Federal Express. Mail I absolutely don't want comes by the Postal Service, but don't worry, they'll continue to be operating. Customs and Border Protection continue. NASA satellite monitoring continues. Food stamps continue. You see that? How do you like that? You like that, huh? The food stamps, so the illegal aliens can continue to buy themselves whatever they would like in the liquor store on the way to the gambling casino. Federal student aid continues. How do you like that? Now, here are agencies that will not be affected as well. FBI will not be affected. Federal marshals will not be affected. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosives, Federal Prisons will operate. So really, you understand the government's not that dumb. They know the difference between essential and non-essential. So you say, well, wait a minute. Hold it, Mike. You just said essential and non-essential. Why would federal student aid be essential? Why would food stamps be essential? The answer is to keep them from rioting. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm not taking too many calls today is because there's a lot of hysteria, misinformation going on now, mainly put out by the grifters inside the government and the Democrat Socialist Party, which is you're all going to, you know, basically die if the government shuts down. It's a selective shutdown between essential and non-essential. I want to reiterate that. If I can do any public service, you know, this is a radio show. It does operate on the airwaves provided by the U.S. government. And I do believe in free speech, but I have an obligation to give you the truth as far as I know it. I don't make things up. Of course, I have a perspective and an orientation, a bias, if you want to put it in that direction. But I try to back up my biases with why I've come to that conclusion. It's not just for shock value. And the fact of the matter is, I believe a government shutdown is not only essential, it's absolutely the most essential thing that could happen right now, because we have a government that's out of control. As I said to you, it's like a large truck careening down an interstate highway and it has no brakes. The engine's about to explode from overheating. And we have to stop the truck, let the engine cool down, put a sane driver behind the wheel, and then get the road, the truck back onto the highway. We don't have it right now. We have no one at the helm, no one at the wheel. The engine's about to explode. The brakes are burned out. Shut her down. Shut her down. So you say, well, oh, isn't the whole world going to come to an end? I just told you in the last segment, no, no, no. I will read to you again so you go away from the show saying, you know, I listened to the Savage Nation and I learned a lot of this is garbage. The whole country doesn't come to a halt because there are agencies and programs that are unaffected by the government shutdown, which comes tonight at midnight if the two gangs can't come to a conclusion of who gets shafted just a little bit, which contractors get hurt the most. You know, that's about it. Your side or my side. FBI stays open. Federal marshals stay open. BATF stays open. Federal prisons continue to operate. Not a dime gets cut. Federal student aid continues so that the drug dealers can continue to get paid. Food stamps continue so that the grifters on food stamps can continue to buy booze, condoms, and other non-essentials. NASA satellite monitoring continues. I have no idea what NASA does anymore. I have no idea. Truthfully, I don't know what they're monitoring. Customs and Border Protection services continue. They're very essential. As minimal as it is, God bless them all. U.S. Postal Service continues mail pickup and delivery for all the mail that no one needs. National Weather Service, weather monitoring, don't know what they need it for. I have no idea at all. Social Security checks keep going out so people in Boca Raton can gamble in Atlantic City and Las Vegas by collecting checks for their deceased relatives going back three generations. FEMA stays open. They do nothing, as you well know. Federal Emergency Management Agency, never there when you need them. Didn't even know the disaster occurred. They were on vacation, but they'll stay open. And the FAA Air Traffic Control will stay open, monitoring occasional flights while continuing to monitor internet porn and eating pizza. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Close her down, shut her down. Now's the time to shut her down, close her down. Now, of course, we have all the usual despots out there saying that it's the end of the world. In fact, Jackson went on MSNBC, the government-owned channel. MSNBC, as you well know, is a wholly owned subsidiary of the U.S. government. Or shall I say, the U.S. government is a wholly owned subsidiary of General Electric. It's hard to say at this point. And there's Jesse Jackson. There he is, the ideological hyperbolic man, claiming it's a civil war. Listen to clip five.
This really is a civil war fight. This is the 150th anniversary of the 1861
right,
Civil
got
War.
Now, just giving the usual demagogues are out there calling it a civil war fight. I haven't heard the word racist yet, but civil war is out there. The best soundbite came from none other than Lady Dianne Feinstein, the former mayor of San Francisco, who became a senator and then became chairman of the Intelligence Committee, who warns us at clip 19 that contractors will be affected. Listen to this one.
As chairman of the Intelligence Committee, I can tell you there are thousands, tens of thousands of contractors. I ran into one the other night who said, I have 700 people, we're going to be shut down. There is a whole part of this that has never been measured that's going to be astronomically hurtful to the United States.
Are you the United States now? You're starting to sound like Richard Nixon. You're the United States? Do you really think that if contractors got closed down for a few days and there was a time to calm down and think about whether you really need those contracts, anybody would suffer? I really don't. Then she goes on, and it gets even more absurd in clip 20.
Okay, what is this over? It is over women's health. The numbers have been agreed to, but it's an opportunity for the right wing in the House to really sock it to women. I don't usually use this language, but I really...
Oh, get off it. You liar, you make me sick. You don't usually use this language. You sicken most Americans. Who do you think you're fooling, Feinstein? You're a disgrace to the word senator. Women's health has nothing to do with women's health. You're trying to appeal to the hysterics who put you in power. I'm sick of this garbage. Of course you should shut it down. And fire half of them. Throw them out. Throw these bums out of Congress altogether. We threw 100 out last time. I wish we could vote them out. Get rid of Feinstein and Boxer. How come they're still there? I can tell you the reason they're still there. Most people in California are onto Feinstein. They don't like her. She likes to walk around like she knows her, like everybody loves her. They don't love her. They don't love her. There's a huge support level via Dianne Feinstein amongst a certain demographic in the state of California. Okay, and I'll let it go with that. I'm so angry listening to this rubbish. You know, she ought to let me put it to you this way. She's doing really well. Her personal wealth has gone up astronomically since she's become a senator, let alone since she's put herself on the Intelligence Committee. Her and her family have never done better, but it's not enough for them. You look into the personal wealth of Dianne Feinstein when she was a mayor and the personal wealth of Feinstein now. You look at the personal wealth of Barbara Boxer when she was a congresswoman and the Boxer family now, and you'll find out that there's a great reason that they spend upwards of $100 million to become a U.S. senator to earn $200,000 a year. You'll find out there's a real reason for it. You know, maybe they ought to be real happy with how they're doing. The people are not stupid with the internet. You know, everybody knows what's going on right now. This is sickening. Stop with the women's health already. You know, the 60s are over. We shall overcome already. Stop with the garbage. The women don't want to hear it, Diane. There's nothing to do with women's health. It's to do with greedy senators like you and greedy contractors of the type you just mentioned. I made my point. There's no point in beating it up already, okay? No one who is going to be laid off is an essential government worker. Not one. You don't need them. What, you need to go to Alcatraz? You need to listen to the geodesic dome that's flying over your house? Okay, 1-800-449-8255. Let's move on already. Beowulf, give me some new callers. Michael, New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, you know, the biggest problem American people need to understand is the jobs that are going overseas. I made a call to T-Mobile about my bill. And
all right, thanks for the call. Look, I don't want to talk about jobs overseas. We're here to talk about the government shutdown tonight and what it really means. In essence, it means nothing. When you say government shutdown, it's the non-essential jobs. Don't you understand that? And I'll go a step further. If they're non-essential, then why are they working for the government? By their own definition, they're non-essential. Everyone would agree we need the FAA, okay? How else would you keep porn sites operating? Everyone agrees the Social Security checks go out because people worked for them. All right. Everyone agrees we need to have the gross polluting U.S. postal trucks running in order to deliver the checks to the welfare recipients. Everyone agrees we need the Customs and Border Protection services. Everyone agrees we don't need NASA satellite monitoring. We have no idea what they do, why they're in it, but we need it somehow. It says satellite and NASA. So everyone agrees we need food stamps to continue so people can continue to go to Indian gambling casinos. Everyone knows that we need to continue the federal student aid. That's an essential service of the U.S. government in order to make certain that the brats who are in college continue to be able to buy nice drugs and not have to scrounge around for any drug money. And then, of course, you get down to the groups that really need to stay in business, FBI, federal marshals, BATF, federal prisons. They all need to stay open. So they are staying open. Look, they're not stupid, the people who run the government. Corrupt, yes. Stupid, no. They know the difference between essential and non-essential. So they've already told you the non-essential will be closed, and the essential will stay open. What more do you need to know? Why are you letting them panic you? I don't understand it. And yet you have this genius, Eleanor Holmes Norton, saying that it's the equivalent to bombing citizens. Listen to clip 8. You're not going to believe this. Listen.
The district residents are being treated as colonists of the Congress of the United States, and we're absolutely outraged. This is the functional equivalent of bombing innocent civilians.
I'm not sure that Eleanor Holmes Norton is a functional representative, to be honest with you, with a statement like that.
Savage.
Listen, I'm trying to perform a public service here on the Savage Nation. Obama's a liar. All the Democrats are liars. They're trying to panic you. They're giving you misinformation and disinformation. It's nonsense. Nonsense. The government shutdown is not really a shutdown at all. Of course, to a man like Obama, who is a communist, a socialist at best, if you want to call him that, every worker in the federal government is essential. But even the government agencies themselves have divided their agencies into essential and non-essential workers. Yes, museums and national parks will close. Yes, about 800,000 people that work for the feds will be on the standby list, unable to use government-provided Blackberries and cell phones. Real loss to the country, right? But the cherry blossoms are going to bloom. The cherry blossoms are going to bloom. And most of the government offices will have their lights on. Now, we hear the Defense Department will stop working. Total rubbish. All uniformed military will report for duty and be paid. 400,000 of the 800,000 people who work for the Defense Department will show up for work Monday in the event of a shutdown. That means 400,000 of them are non-essential, and they should be fired. You see, this is very interesting. This exercise in a threat of a shutdown has been extremely interesting because it's shown us, we the people, how much of the government is unessential, non-essential. About 50% of it at the very least. About 23,000 people work in the Pentagon every day. 17,000 of them are civilians. You think they're all war heroes? A little over half of those civilians are expected to be exempted and show up for work. So the other half are not necessary. They should stay home and be fired. Harry Reid, of course, is an hysteric and a liar. And he says that intelligence would be significantly harmed. Well, I don't know how much more harmed it can be, by the way. The State Department under Hillary Clinton said she's not going to let anyone go. You hear she said human rights is a priority 365 days a year, so she'll not fire one person or furlough one person in the State Department to show you where her head is at. You talk about communism. What about the Supreme Court? It will keep its doors open next week, though no cases are scheduled. Tourists can still go through the building and see Ruth Bader Ginsburg asleep at her chair. And justices will be able to handle emergency matters as normal. In case, let's say, someone on death row for the last 50 years needs yet another appeal, they can come back for vacation. The Justice Department, so-called, says that alleged D.C. Metro bomber Farouk Mahmed is going to change his not guilty plea during a hearing Monday at the Alexandria, Virginia Federal Court, and that District Judge Gerald Bruce Lee will be on hand to hear it. I guess he won't be furloughed and be able to go golfing. Here it is. At the Justice Department, 117,000 employees, 94,000, 80% of them would be able to work. So 80% of them have no essential function. They're patronage jobs. They could be fired. NASA would continue to operate. We have no idea what they do. I like the idea of NASA, so okay, wonderful. Give them a breather. How about the Department of Homeland Security, a department that's done such good work? Apparently, they're not going to lay anybody off. They're going to continue to need everybody. Those involved, I don't know what they do. Let's see. Federal air marshals, 53,000. At Customs and Border Protection, 86% of its 58,000 employees will stay on. Okay, well, they do something. The others, I guess, don't really do anything. Department of Homeland Security's border operations will also be in effect. Good. I'd hire double the agents. In fact, I would take the 400,000 Defense Department employees who do nothing and fire them and give 100,000 of them a job as a Border Patrol agent and give them the option to actually strap a gun on and protect the borders. Otherwise, they could take a walk. They can go to England for dental work, as far as I'm concerned. They don't like America, they go get their dental work in England and enjoy the cuisine that England's known for. Now let's get down to the really important department, like the Education Department. You're going to see this, you're not going to believe it. And I've told you, the government shutdown is not really a shutdown. You're finding out how much of the government agencies are really essential. Okay? The Education Department, which, as you well know, is a department no one ever needed, said it would furlough 93% of its total staff in the first week. Did you hear this? But it would keep the offices open because they're auditing the funding that's been given out by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. In other words, some of the grift money that was raised by whatever her name was, the one with the hammer from San Francisco, the housewife with the lunatic housewife with the hammer, funneled a lot of money into the Education Department, and that goes into student financial aid, all right. But 93% of the Education Department will be furloughed, means you don't need them, they should be fired. Now, what about the Pentagon? Okay. The Pentagon also announced that families of service members killed in the line of duty during the government shutdown would not be paid death benefits. They should go to hell for that one. Anybody in the defense in the Pentagon who did this in order to scare the American people should be fired. A senior defense official told Pentagon reporters Friday that while typically the $100,000 payment is received within days of a military death, families of fallen soldiers will have to wait for Congress to resolve the budget impasse before. Look what they're doing. Look how evil they are in this government, in the Democrat-controlled government. That those who lost a family member in combat are put now on the list of those who will have to wait for a check, but a filthy, dirty bum illegal alien collecting food stamps, or a lazy, drug-addicted student with federal student aid gets the check, but the family of those who died in combat will not get the check. Pentagon pays out roughly 100 to 150 death benefits a month, and they're trying to hold you up over this. It just shows you how corrupt and evil and demagogic the Democrat Party really is. It's sickening, frankly. So at the end of the line, you've just learned in the Savage Nation that most of the government workers that are essential will stay in work. Most. Some departments, like the State Department, 100% will stay, even though 100% of them are unessential. The State Department is fundamentally the anti-American department of the U.S. government. It's concerned mainly with the international community, and yet 100% of them will continue to collect their checks to do God knows what. But all the essential services will continue to operate. The non-essential services will not. Military operation in Afghanistan, Libya, and Iraq would continue. WIC, SNAP, and other child nutrition benefits would continue. Isn't that touching? Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program would continue. Medical services for veterans would continue to be available. They're trying to scare you into thinking your hospitals will be closed. They won't. Meat and poultry inspection will continue. It's minimal to begin with, so what's the difference? You got to be able to smear the inspectors there. Listen to this double talk. You want to hear double speak? Treasury's core payment and collection programs would remain operational. That means the IRS does not shut down. They never sleep. But they don't call it the IRS. They tell you the Treasury's core payment and collection programs would remain operational. So Timothy Geithner's IRS, no one gets laid off. They continue to go air. They never had it so good. You got a government right now that is consisting of the elites. In the Western Hemisphere right now, governments is a government of the elites, by the elites, and for the elites. They have fat checks, monster benefits, and they're all screaming like they're going to, you know, go to the poorhouse if they get a shutdown and have to cut back. It's all rubbish. As we learned tonight on the Savage Nation, because I did my homework for you, most of it's hysteria and misinformation being put out by the demagogues. And we could do very, very well with a good government shutdown. Let things sort themselves out. You'll find out life will go on. You'll find out the essential services will continue to roll on. And you'll also find out that even amongst the essential services, there's probably a 20 to 30% fat element in there, maybe 50%. In the case of the State Department, maybe 50%, 80% of the State Department could be eliminated, in my estimation, without any damage to the national security of this country. That's one man's opinion. It's a crude analytical guess. I understand that it's not accurate. If you want to instead rely on the accuracy of the government employees who are telling you which are essential or not, go ahead, do what you want. Sacramento Dan, you're on the Savage Nation from KSTE. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Now, since when, you know, listening to you talking to Feinstein, boy, does my blood boil. I've seen so much damage done by that woman.
Oh, my God. Ever since she's been a mayor, she's been the Queen of Diamonds. She spooked me, that woman. That woman's like the Queen of Diamonds.
Yeah, well, since when?
Look, why should she be chairman of the intelligence community? It's amazing to me how she's inveigled her way up to that position. Do you feel that she's up to that position, a woman who's a gun grabber, chairman of the National Intelligence Committee, Senate Intelligence Committee? How does this happen? Why is it not someone who's an Iraq or Afghanistan war veteran who went to Congress, then became a senator? That's who I'd like to see on the Intelligence Committee. But anyway, go on.
Well, yes, I've seen her, you know, since when did her and Pat Schroeder ever care about the military? All they were interested in was prosecuting our airmen and shutting down airfields.
That's correct. That's right.
You know, these people, they hate the military, so what does she care?
Well, that's how she got the job. If you hate the military, you become the chairman of the Intelligence Committee. That's how it works. You boll weevil your way in, that's how the left works, and then you destroy the thing you hate the most. That's all. Let's go to WOR in New York. Joe, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. This whole thing is really nonsense. The government, the federal government, does not create jobs. If we close it down, no big deal. Government jobs are created by Main Street, not Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, that's not true. That's not a true statement. That's a kind of two-dimensional statement that has no meaning. Of course they have jobs that are essential. You're not going to argue that the FDA or meat and poultry inspection is not essential. There are very essential services. You can't say that none of them are essential. That would be ludicrous.
But there's a burdensome, there's a cumbersomeness to...
Let's move on already. This is already Rush Limbaugh level. We're now getting the Rush Limbaugh listeners. Of course there are government jobs, and they're essential. Do I have to go through the list again? But most, 50% of them are non-essential or more. In some cases, like the education department, 80% of them are non-essential. You know what I'm saying? Look, I think what we've learned so far is that the government itself is wise enough to know that there are essential and non-essential employees. They've already made the contingency plan to keep operating with the essential employees, and they're going to furlough the non-essential. The non-essential should be fired. You want to straighten the budget out? Tell them to take a permanent walk. Take a furlough and don't come back, okay? Go on that cruise you've been waiting for. You know, or move to England for the dental work that they're famous for. Alabama, Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, Michael, this drives me crazy that the government would have non-essential employees to begin with. If I had
absolutely.
Book, I would put another chapter in there talking just about...
You know, you're 100% right. You know, that's a great chapter for my next book, Michael. That's a great idea. Thank you for that idea. Republicans urging Boehner to cut deal. As negotiations of a government shutdown tick down to the final stage, House Speaker John Boehner is receiving strong support from his Republican colleagues to cut a deal with Obama and Senate Democrats to avoid the shutdown. Several House Republicans, including Rep. Austin Scott, blah, 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 said that they want to bring a deal. They want a deal. What does a deal mean? They all like to play like they're businessmen. They think they're Donald Trump already, the deal, the art of the deal. You know what the art of the deal is for a congressman? To roll over and beg like a poodle. That's the art of a deal for a congressman. The overwhelming sense among House Republicans attending the conference is that a shutdown would be averted and a compromise on the spending level, blah, 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 blah. I say close it down, shut it down, lay them off forever. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There's a moon out tonight.
It's a beautiful world. You know something? It's a beautiful world. We actually have a wonderful government. They had nothing to do with creating it, but they inherited a wonderful system. If it was up to the Democrats, it would revert to something like Rwanda. Watching a movie last night, late at night. I shouldn't have watched it. You know, I shouldn't watch these violent movies. And it was about Darfur and how the Arab Muslims slaughter the black Christians. Cut them to ribbons with machetes, shoot them, rape the women. And it's a race war. It's a genocide going on in Darfur. And it made me so sick to see the poor black people in Darfur being brutalized by the Arabs who spit at them. And the things that they say to them. I don't know who put this movie together. It was actually admirable. You know, it was a Hollywood movie. And I realized what human beings are capable of. Man's inhumanity to man has almost no bounds. I don't mean to get too preachy, you know, with you on a Friday night, but you don't realize how lucky you are to live in this country, most of us. You know, we get carried away with how much we despise the Democrats, and we should, because they are descending. They're trying to pull us into a lower order of government. They don't believe in the free market. They believe in a centralized government. They believe in centralized control over what we think, what we eat, what we read. They are the despots of our time. Be very clear about it. Some of the Republicans have it exactly right, especially the new ones. So when you get to a thing like this, government shutdown, I hope I've helped you understand that there are many agencies that will not be affected by the government shutdown. And those that are affected and do lay people off, laying off the non-essential, are because they're non-essential. The word non-essential means something. It's actually not an oxymoronic statement. If you are a non-essential government employee, it means you're non-essential. It means that you are basically dead weight that we, the taxpayer, are carrying on our back. Now, let me close out this hour with something more germane. This is a very interesting medical story. Just came out minutes ago. Man sexually transmits insect-borne disease to wife. Scientists think they may have documented the first case of a sexually transmitted insect-borne disease, according to a study in Emerging Infectious Diseases. A vector biologist at Colorado State traveled to Senegal, bitten by a mosquito, developed the Zika virus, which causes fatigue and joint pains, came back to the U.S., had sex with his wife, and unknowingly transmitted the disease to her. This is a very important story because it may be the first time that we see this in science, where a sexually transmitted insect-borne disease has been documented such as this. Now, it's known in the animal kingdom that this can be done. There are sexually transmitted mosquito-borne viruses are possible. Bores, not people at cocktail parties or political meetings who bore you to death, but animals who were infected with Japanese encephalitis. Bores who were infected with Japanese encephalitis shed the virus in their semen, and when female pigs were artificially inseminated with the boar semen, they also became infected. Okay, that's very interesting. And it's very interesting to understand that this proves one thing, if it proves anything at all, that my mother, God rest her soul, was 100% right when she said sex is dirty. Man sexually transmits insect-borne disease to wife. So you see, and whichever way you look at it, no matter how good it feels, it's no good. You're better off eating Chinese or Japanese food at the end, Chinese or Italian food at the end of the last years of your life. I'm just having a little joke here. No, it's unbelievable. Man sexually transmits insect-borne disease to wife. He goes to Senegal. He's bitten by a mosquito, develops the Zika virus, comes home, has sex with his wife, and he unknowingly transmits the disease to her. That's pretty amazing. What that means is that if you get bitten by a mosquito with virtually any virus, you could transmit it sexually. That's what it really means in plain English now. That's a whole new ball game, so to speak, in the world of infectious diseases and in epidemiology. It opens up an entire new world of worry for the frightened, paranoid, neurotic American and Western population, which is already germophobic to the nth degree. We worry about the air we breathe, the water we eat, we drink, and the food we eat. So now there's something new for us to worry about. You know, I got to conclude this hour with what I started with because I think it's such an important story, the meaning of Jesus or the meaning of religion. I told you I was driving down the interstate today, saw a large truck going by, heavy, very big monster truck, pull alongside the cab, look inside, there's a tall or large older black man driving the truck, serious face. I look on the door, and he had a sign painted in the metal. It said, "Real men love Jesus." And I thought about it as I was on the highway. And I said, the literalists don't understand that it doesn't matter whether or not Jesus really lived, whether he was exactly the way the Bible says he was, whether he actually rose from the dead or didn't. What matters is that Jesus as a concept is important. And it's the concept that is very important, that the critical element about religion is the concept of the religion. And so if the concept of Jesus and the concept of Christianity gives a man the faith to get up in the morning, to brush his teeth, comb his hair, kiss his wife, kiss his children, send them off to school, and go to work every day without killing himself or hurting anybody or committing any crimes, if that's what loving Jesus means, or if that's what being religious means, if that's what your religion means, then you should all embrace Jesus, because that's what religion means. It's a concept. Forget about literalism, because you can tear any argument apart with literalism, and you wind up being a realist who has no faith in anything, not even in your own self. And that's my Sermon on the Mount today on the Savage Nation. I hope you've enjoyed it, because it's the most important thing for you to remember. That's the meaning of any religion. Any religion that teaches you kindness and lovingness towards your fellow man is a true religion. Any religion, so-called, that teaches you to hate your fellow man and to kill your fellow man or convert your fellow man is not a religion at all. It's a political statement. It's a political organization. It should be banned, in my humble opinion. You got it? Write it down.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
don't want to hold myself out as, you know, omniscient or anything like that. The reality is, though, I know this case in a way that members of Congress do not. I have looked at the files. I've spoken to the prosecutors. I know the tactical concerns that have to go into this decision. So do I know better than them? Yes.
So you met someone who set you back on your heels.
All right. Okay, there's a little politics for you. That's our secretary. That's our Justice Department head, Eric Holder, the man who released the Puerto Rican terrorists, the man who gave amnesty to the guy, I forget his name. Unbelievable. Almost in tears because he lost the ability to wreck the judicial system by holding hearings in a civil court for people who should have been executed 10 years ago. That's the world I'm living in. 9 years ago, make you happier? Eric Holder, press conference. Unhappy that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-conspirators will be tried in a military tribunal. And so, therefore, he's very unhappy that he didn't have the full authority to grant them amnesty, along with the vermin from the ACLU. Listen to clip 12 now. Go ahead.
Let me be clear, and let me be very clear. Our national security demands that we continue to prosecute terrorists in federal courts, and will do so.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Our national security demands we continue to prosecute terrorists in federal courts? Hitler sent his men over here in submarines in World War II, and FDR, who was as good a liberal as anyone you ever met, gave them a military trial, by the way. You can check the case out, Eric, since you're such a great lawyer. I think if I remember correctly, it was the Quirin case, by the way, Quirin et al. You want to look it up. Maybe you missed that during your legal training, wherever you went, which associate arts degree you got in law. The Quirin case will show clearly that they were tried in a military trial, the Nazis were, and they were executed. I think two of them were released, but they were executed. They were not tried in a federal court, sir. And they always give you the same reason, the liberals. We have to, our heritage, values, and legacy. Hey, let me tell you, our heritage, values, and legacy demands that we execute terrorists, not that we give them a gold-plated trial, Eric. Our real heritage is killing terrorists within 30 days of capture, not a show trial for your liberal psychos out there. And I want to remind you of something else, Mr. Holder. The United States Navy was created to kill pirates, not to bring them to New York and have a stupid, clownish trial in Manhattan where the ACLU can make them look like heroes instead of villains. And I'll tell you something else. If we went back to 30 days and then executed, there'd be no more piracy on the high seas. And I'll tell you a little something else, Mr. Holder. If you unleashed our F-18 Hornets on the town where the pirates come from in Somalia, there'd be no piracy either, Mr. Holder. Stop with the trials already for terrorists. You've turned this nation into a laughingstock. Mr. Holder, look what we have now. Where up is down, down is up, left is right, right is left, north is south, south is north, east is west is east. Okay? The whole world is upside down because of what we have in the White House. Big ears. Big ears is in the White House. And take a look at what we made the Attorney General. You know, no wonder we have a thing like this. No wonder this is going on. No wonder a pig's foot is sent to Senator Representative King. Bloody pig's foot sent to Rep. Peter King. Crazy. There's more to the story than meets the eye. A source on Capitol Hill told NBC News just now that the note contained anti-Semitic ramblings and referenced the radicalization hearings by Peter King. King is Roman Catholic, by the way, not Jewish. See, now they should find the person who sent that and punish them to the full extent of the law, which is probably a wrist slap. Holder flip-flops and blames Congress. They should give him a shave, by the way, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, before he has a trial. They should force him to get a little Barbasol, him and Eric Benarki. They should go to the same Plaza Barber. I never trusted Barbasol, man. I knew he was a fraud. He was any guy who plays, either they're very angelic. I never trust angelic men, and I don't like demonic men. And to me, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is demonic. Out and out, you could look at his eyes and you could see Hitler and a death merchant. With the other guy, Bernanke, he's in love with himself and always plays the nice guy who's a good, never do bad, always do good. How about the Ivory Coast where thousands are being killed, hatcheted to death? It's like a Tutu Maquette thing with the wrong, different country. How come we're not sending in airplanes to the Ivory Coast? As civil war rages over Ivory Coast presidency, critics complain about Obama's focus on the Middle East. Answer, there's no oil in the Ivory Coast is only ivory. And the country doesn't run on ivory, okay? We don't put ivory in our gas tanks. As civil war grips the West African nation of Ivory Coast, what is this with Africa? Every day we have to worry now about Africa and send troops and airplanes. Where's it written I have to defend Africa? It's terrible, the situation. It's a nightmare. What the hell is the UN for with the trillions of dollars that those bums rob? Let them send the UN force in there and leave me alone. UN resolutions denouncing bugaboo. Obama even taped a video message that was posted on the White House website, but does nothing. How are you going to solve tribal warfare like this, particularly in the Ivory Coast? In the wake of Libya, some have asked why the international community is not helping in Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. There are 11,000 UN peacekeepers on the ground right now, so they say, oh, but we are helping. Oh, really? It's 11,000 UN peacekeepers and 1,000 got slaughtered over the weekend. Just shows you the utility of the UN. The UN mission has been there for 8 years and has helped keep things from falling apart in an incredibly fragile moment. Oh, so that's why there's 1,000 dead over the weekend? So the 11,000 UN peacekeepers, what were they doing while the 1,000 were being macheted to death? Tell me what they were doing over there. I don't want to do the news. It's not required that I do it for a living. What could I do about the Ivory Coast? I don't collect ivory. I don't like ivory. I don't like people who hunt elephants. I think they should be shot. That's why, remember, last week I got attacked because I attacked the NRA, and now don't know NRA callers. I'm going to tell you right now, Wayne LaPierre has destroyed the NRA. Wayne LaPierre is to the NRA, in my opinion, as Bob Dole was to the Republican Party. Wayne LaPierre is just a lobbyist who has hijacked the NRA. It's not my NRA, okay? I gave them a large donation several years ago. Let me start with my personal vendetta. And they sent me a form letter. That's number one. I got very angry at them. Then I was speaking with someone I know who said to me, I told him I liked the guns and this and that. He says to me, you want to hear about the greatest guns I've ever seen? Yes. He said, I went to Charlton Heston's house while he was still alive. And he had a pair of dueling pistols that were given to him by the NRA for his great work. And the dueling pistols were allegedly owned by Thomas Jefferson. I said, wow, that must have been amazing. So I told him my NRA problem, my problem with the NRA to begin with. And he said to me, in his opinion, Wayne LaPierre and his gang have basically turned the whole NRA into as a private fiefdom. That was his opinion. I said, wow, I guess I'm not the only one who understands what's going on here. And then I wake up and they have the nerve to send out a fundraising letter where they're celebrating trophy hunts. And they show elephants being hunted in the age of Teddy Roosevelt. I said, that's the end of the road for me in the NRA. They're not my NRA any more than the Republican Party is my Republican Party. It doesn't mean there aren't a few good Republicans. There are some great Republicans. But I don't vote Republican. I'm an independent. I have been for many years. It's the same with the NRA. They'll never see another nickel out of me, ever. And don't give them any money. They're not doing it for you. They're doing it for themselves. I've seen it over and over again. You know, there are other charities I've looked into. You know, I'm an animal lover and this and that. I try to help them. But every time I send a note out to them, I say, could you please send me a disclosure of how much money the executives earn? I'm shocked. $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 a year for these nonprofits. And many of them pose as, you know, just simple little organizations. It's unbelievable to me. You don't know which way to turn in this world. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I wasn't always the best student when I was young. I made my share of mistakes. I was kind of a goof-off. I was about the age of some of the folks here. And my grades were slipping. I was acting, as my mother put it, sort of casual about my future. I was doing good enough. You know, I was smart enough that I could kind of get by. But I wasn't really applying myself.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Well, things have really changed. He wasn't really applying himself. Came back from a vacation. Got a blowout in Japan and a war in Libya. He was in Rio, you know. He ran off to Rio with the family. Same person. Wasn't applying himself. Now he's applying himself. All right, here we are. Now, this is very disturbing. As you well know, I was not alarmed initially about the atomic problem, the nuclear problem in Japan. I said that the airborne radiation would not amount to very much, and I was fortunately able to read the tea leaves on that one. Okay, fine. So there was, you know, minimal, 1,000 times lower than a detectable range, really. arrived here in the United States. But now I'm very concerned. They're now purposely pumping radioactive water into the ocean. And let me tell you something. This water is up to 500 times the legal limit for radiation. 500 times. This stuff doesn't disappear in the ocean. Eventually, what's going to happen is it's going to contaminate all of the seafood from the bottom to the top of the Pacific Ocean. This should not be allowed. I did see a show the other day on Nat Geo, I think, with a woman who has an elephant sanctuary in Tennessee that's 1,700 acres, and she rescues zoo elephants and circus elephants. It's a very beautiful organization. I don't think that they're making a lot of money on it. They don't look like they're big living people. I'm going to actually investigate now any of these things. I want to go see the people. You know what I mean? If there's a Rolls in the, if I see a Rolls Royce and a Gulfstream in the garage, I'll say, okay. But they're not supposed to get rich if they're a charity. It's like public servants. We used to hear they're a public servant, all the government. They're not public servants, federal, state, and city workers. They're grifters. Most of them do very, very little, if anything at all. They collect pensions that nobody can afford. We have underfunded pensions by several trillion dollars. The party's coming to an end. The party's coming to an end. They're not going to get it. It's like radioactivity, man. A pension today is like radioactivity, a public pension. Speaking about radioactivity, what's with the Japanese? Will they become lunatics? They're pouring radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. Nuke plant operator starts dumping millions of gallons of contaminated water into the ocean, and they don't stop this. These people? That's the UN at work. The nuke plant operator is dumping millions of gallons of contaminated seawater into the Pacific Ocean. You're telling me it's not going to affect the entire seafood chain? Then you don't know the first thing about it, Jack. They should be stopped immediately. No, but they're not doing it. What are they doing? What, they got smeared off by the Japanese plant operator? They gave them a free ride and a visit to Japanese Disneyland? All right, here we are. Now, this is very disturbing. As you well know, I was not alarmed initially about the atomic problem, the nuclear problem in Japan. I said that the airborne radiation would not amount to very much, and I was fortunately able to read the tea leaves on that one. Okay, fine. So there was minimal, 1,000 times lower than a detectable range, really, arrived here in the United States. But now I'm very concerned. They're now purposely pumping radioactive water into the ocean. And let me tell you something. This water is up to 500 times the legal limit for radiation. 500 times. This stuff doesn't disappear in the ocean. Eventually, what's going to happen is it's going to contaminate all of the seafood from the bottom to the top of the Pacific Ocean. This should not be allowed. Now, I want to remind you of something else. General Electric built these nuclear reactors. In a perfect world, this wouldn't have happened. But we don't live in a perfect world. Accidents happen. They're liable. Both of the plant's nuclear reactors were designed by GE. In a sane world, GE would be held liable for all damage to Japan and to the world's ecosystem. Again, this will not happen because Jeff Immelt of GE has ingratiated himself with Obama to the extent that Google has ingratiated themselves with Obama. And apparently today you can buy a politician as cheaply as you could buy a Southern sheriff in 1950, okay? It doesn't matter how high up the food chain they are, you can buy them and sell them. You give them a free ride, you take them to Disneyland, and you make a contribution to their favorite charity, which is their reelection committee, and suddenly you can contaminate the entire Pacific Ocean and get away with it. Or you can park your airplane at NASA Ames and call it a research plane. All the plant's reactors were designed by GE. And Jeff Immelt offered assistance in dealing with the electricity shortage. So he's sending them gas turbines. How about cleaning up the ocean, Mr. General Electric? New York, WOR, David, go ahead. What's your topic?
Yes, Michael, the funniest story about your dad. When you used to come home with, say, oh, I got a B on the history test. And he said, well, why didn't you get an A? And then you say,
right.
Well, next time you come back, and you say, I got an A. And he said, well, why didn't you get 100?
That's right.
And then you get the 100, and he says, well, how many other kids in the class got the 100? It had to be too easy.
Or he'd ask why you didn't get 100 in everything. If you'd come up with a 98, he'd say, how come you only got a 98? Why didn't you get 100?
The test had to be fixed.
Oh, yeah, made me a very, very happy person. As you could see, it turned me into an extremely happy, easy-go-lucky guy. The bigger issue is this. Who was it in America who said that Barack Hussein Obama could not even pass a security clearance and become an FBI agent because of his associations. I said that before he was elected. I said the man could not even qualify to become an FBI agent. Thanks for the call. I want to remind you of something else. General Electric built these nuclear reactors, but we don't live in a perfect world. Accidents happen. They're liable. Both of the plant's nuclear reactors were designed by GE. In a sane world, GE would be held liable for all damage to Japan and to the world's ecosystem. Again, this will not happen because Jeff Immelt of GE has ingratiated himself with Obama to the extent that Google has ingratiated themselves with Obama. And apparently today you can buy a politician as cheaply as you could buy a Southern sheriff in 1950, okay? It doesn't matter how high up the food chain they are, you can buy them and sell them. You give them a free ride, you take them to Disneyland, and you make a contribution to their favorite charity, which is their reelection committee, and suddenly you can contaminate the entire Pacific Ocean and get away with it. Or you can park your airplane at NASA Ames and call it a research plane. Jeff Immelt offered assistance in dealing with the electricity shortage. So he's sending them gas turbines. How about cleaning up the ocean, Mr. General Electric? Why shouldn't you be liable for the ecosystem that's being damaged, permanently damaged, by the way? You know, there's no such thing as an ocean apart anymore.
Savage.
If you're a business that needs to transport goods, then I'm challenging you to replace your old fleet with a clean energy fleet that's not only good for your bottom line, but good for our planet. And if you accept this challenge and you join our Clean Fleets Partnership, we're going to help you make the transition to a clean energy fleet. And Chew and LaHood will also come and wash your car or truck.
See, here's an example of an ivory tower pinhead, a microcephalic concept. In the midst of the most challenging business environment of our life, you've got this ivory tower lunatic, Obama, telling businesses that need trucks to replace their fleet with a clean energy fleet. That's a very nice idea when you have the money for it. I would say Mr. Obama should start with the U.S. postal trucks, which are the most high-carbon trucks on the road. My mail arrives at 5:30 at night. You know, very efficient, the U.S. Postal Service. At my house, it comes at 5:30. I don't blame the postal truck driver. And you could smell it coming a block away, those little trucks pumping out carbon, horribly inefficient junkers. Why don't they replace them with so-called green trucks? What are they telling businessmen to do it for? This is nonsense. This is an example of an ivory tower academic who is destroying the country with his false idealism, okay? Paul in Oregon, Jay, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, this is why I listened to your show, Mike, as I was telling your screener. You were, in my opinion, as far as I can tell, the first person to raise the red flags over the so-called rebels in Libya.
Well, I sneered at them when I called them rebels. Yep. I said, what do they think, that James Dean are rebels without a cause? And all of a sudden they got dungarees and a BlackBerry. They're all young people. I mean, of course I saw right through this. They did it in Egypt. Right now, Sharia law and the Muslim Brotherhood is demanding the imposition of Sharia law in Egypt. And they want police to go around looking for modesty police in Egypt. Egypt was an advanced nation. It was a moderate Muslim nation that was destroyed by Jimmy Carter, Brzezinski, and Obama and that team of psychotic leftists. Do you know that?
I know that because I listen to your show and I've got a brain that works. And now just hearing this clip from Obama.
Oh, I'm getting, see, it's bad. The show's getting me upset now, and I really want to have a nice night with my family. Thanks for the call. I got excited. I shouldn't. Then I lay in bed and I say, what are you getting so excited about? They're not listening to you. What's 9 million people a week? You're not important. Your radio show doesn't count. No one buys your books. Oh, they're bestsellers. It's true, one after the other. And you have 9 million listeners, your third largest show in the country, but it doesn't really matter. No one listens to you. But it doesn't matter whether you listen to me. The policymakers don't listen to you. That's the most important. Well, I can take some credit for the Tea Parties in the sense that my compassionate conservative events, going back to the beginning of my radio career back in the 90s, were in essence Tea Parties. They were Tea Parties, and they're very good. You got to do more of it. Get in the face of the communist left. Use agitprop, use kiddieprop, whatever you have to use. Don't be intimidated by the vermin in the media. Get in their faces. Don't take no for an answer. I love the Tea Parties. I love that filmmaker who does with the video, The Underground. I won't let him in my house, but I love that he does it to the other guys. I'll never go to dinner or luncheon in Beverly Hills with him attending with a camera at the next table where he gets what I say. He's actually what I say on air is quite liberal compared to what I really believe, what needs to be done. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What needs to be done will never happen. All right. Let's move on. I can tell when I'm getting red in the face that I've gone over the edge, like with anger. You know, that's a good tester. When my face gets heated as a radio host and I start to feel red-faced, it means I'm getting too excited. I got to keep it on a modest, like a Will Rogers with the lasso that I used to talk about. I can make my point without getting crazy, without going over the edge. That's the real mark of a talented guy in this business. We can make your mark and make people listen. One after the other, bing, bang, boom, without going crazy and going over the edge. Then you got a show no one will listen to. It won't even be the pickle of truth at that point. It'll be the knish of truth. And nobody wants an old knish. Sacramento, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I called because I wanted to thank you for really saving my health. I was had high cholesterol, and I had taken blood tests. The doctor said, well, we'll try you on fish oil and red rice yeast. And then I was just about to come in to take my second test, and I heard from you the advice to take niacin, and you talked about how terrible Lipitor was. And I came in, and the doctor said, well, your new tests don't look so good. We're going to have to put you on Lipitor. And I begged him. I said, I'd like to just try one more month. Give me one more month. And so I took the month, and I did the niacin and the B6 that you advised, and my cholesterol went absolutely to normal, and I think it's just great advice that everybody...
See that? I saved another life. Now, Steve, how many milligrams of niacin are you taking?
I take 1,000 a day, non-flushing.
But do you take it in two doses or one dose?
I take it, taking it both ways, single and twice.
I want you to be very careful of one thing. Time-released niacin can be very damaging to the liver. You know that or not?
Yes. The doctor said that. He advised not to go above 1,000 milligrams.
Well, they ought to say the same thing about the Lipitor-style drugs as well. They do almost the same damage to the liver at certain dosages, number one. But you have any muscle fatigue from the niacin?
No, not at all.
Now, one last question, because most people don't know this. Niacin can be a miracle drug in many ways. It also is fabulous for fighting depression. It's cured schizophrenia in many cases, according to one of the great medical minds of our time who's been completely ignored, Dr. Eric Hoffer, who's one of the great minds of our time, has been completely ignored. Hoffer cured many people of schizophrenia with high doses of niacin. However, do you ever get any kind of gout-like reaction from it? You got to know about that's a potential side effect.
No, nothing like that. But one other thing, I told my parents about it because they had high cholesterol, and it worked for them, too. 30 days, it turned their entire...
All right, well, the man who discovered that niacin will lower cholesterol and straighten out HDL-LDL levels is Dr. Eric Hoffer, who died about 2 years ago. It's interesting, I knew Dr. Hoffer. He was a giant in the field and the most humble man I ever met. Did you know he discovered this in 1949 and 1950 while he was working for the Canadian Public Health Service? He knew that he could have patented niacin as a medicine and made a fortune, okay? Picture what he could have earned if he had patented it as a drug and sold it, right? Instead, he gave it to the public domain for the betterment of mankind. That's the kind of guy he was. Can you add? Now, compare him with the type of doctors and researchers we have today. Anyway, I'm glad it worked. You just look, I want people to listen to understand that there's no miracles out there. And sometimes, there's no such thing as a free lunch. If you take high doses of niacin, just to finish this up, and I don't want to do a whole medical show, you should understand that you can have gout-like reactions if you're that type of individuals. It can also actually cause the same type of muscle reaction that people get from Lipitor. So you got to be aware of that. But in your case, it's non-toxic, which is great. You're very lucky. You're a very lucky man indeed. Very, very good mood elevator, incidentally, niacin. I myself don't touch it. 1-800-449-8255. I don't want to have perfectly good moods because then it'll be like living in a dreamland. I'll start to think Obama's a good president. His jokes make sense. Eric Holder's a fine attorney general. Everything is fine. The sky is blue. Everything's perfect. And I'll be like, in other words, the average American. Tampa, Florida. Sean, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. I almost don't want to ask this question now, but I was going to ask you, I'm constantly bombarded on TV. I see all the antidepressant drugs. Are there any natural herbs, teas?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just ask Charlie Sheen. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll will work a miracle.
Well, I guess there's always that. But I was looking for things that could possibly be
non-toxic. Okay. No, I tried a cheap answer. It's funny. A natural antidepressant. You mean in vitamins? Of course. High doses of vitamin C will definitely elevate your mood, as will high doses of niacin and the other B vitamins affect your mood. Directly, unequivocally, I don't need a crackpot from any of the universities to deny it, because it's true. That's all. And the reason you don't read it is because they can't patent any of this. You cannot patent a vitamin. And consequently, vitamins are the cheapest form of medication and the best form of medication in the cases where they work. Certainly, legitimate drugs, or I'll call them mainstream medical drugs, are certainly lifesavers when they are required. But they should be used as a last resort, not a first resort. And I've written about this for 30 years. I'm a national treasure. I should be invited to the White House because I'd redo the Obama menu for the next dinner that they serve. Believe me, it wouldn't have short ribs on it with honeysuckle pie. Believe me, they wouldn't be serving ice cream for dessert. Invite Michael Savage to the White House. I'll show you what the menu would be. It wouldn't be that. Probably be calamari. Calamari appetizer, cold calamari appetizer. Oh, the special eggplant that I eat. The other night I go into the North Beach restaurant. They know already. It's the eggplant with no cheese. Then the calamari. You know what I had for dinner? You won't believe it. I'm going to go back in a minute. It was later at night already. I didn't want to eat. I said, just give me the potatoes and the chard. No butter. And skip the main course. That is, he says to me, Peter says to me, you just want the potatoes and the Swiss chard? Yeah, and I said, skip. I don't need the veal. I don't need the chicken. I don't need the fish. Because most people think that they need a protein, whatever. What do you need it for? I had a big lunch in the Indian buffet that day anyway. It was enough with the tandoori chicken coming out of my ears. So, you know, watch your protein intake. There's only so much your body needs and wants. You don't need that high a protein diet. So at night, I mean, I did the potatoes. I slept like a baby, an agitated baby. I got 2 good hours that night. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Risk of your displeasure, audience of the Savage Nation. Yes, at the risk of your displeasure, I must go deeper than the surface of the news stories. I must drill down 5,000 years into the bedrock of Western civilization and see what the, let us say the Book of Books, the holiest book, the so-called Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, has to say about this situation. And I searched far and wide, and guess what I found? Something you haven't heard yet. Oh, you've all heard Ezekiel, you've heard Isaiah, you've heard Joshua, you've heard Ecclesiastes. Did you know Barak is in the Bible? It's in Judges. I found it. See, him and Deborah work together. Him and Deborah, Barak and Deborah work together, and I'll read it to you and see what this, see if this means anything to you. Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to the Mount Tabor, and Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harashim Goyim unto the brook Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all his chariots, and all his host, with the edge of the sword before Barak. And you can read it yourself. The bottom line is that Barak, although we were told means peace in Hebrew, Barak was a warrior, incidentally. You should know that Barak was a warrior, as were all the prophets. None of the prophets were peaceniks. You see, there was no marijuana in those days. There were no communist camps for children in the Poconos back in the old desert days. And so all of the prophets had to put aside their writings and their readings and their prophesying, and they had to be warriors in those days. So even Barak, was a warrior in those days, and I found him for you. It's all in Judges, and there's much more about what Barak was doing in those days. And you say, well, what does it have to do with now? Please don't bore me with this nonsense. What does this have to do with today? And he says he went down with 900 chariots of iron. Now, if you were one given over to symbolism, you could start doing numbers and you could say, wait a minute, why is that war? Why does that number 900 ring true to me, right? What do you mean 900 chariots of iron? Let's count the number of aircraft that Barak is using, along with the French and the Italians and the Danes and the whoever else is sending weaponry over there, and let's add up the other weapons. Do they add up to 900? I mean, you want to go through this. There are people who would do this. I'm giving you a lead for your churches on Sunday. I'm giving priests out there and ministers out there something to play with on Sunday to get the people hooked back on the Bible. Because as I said to you before, the only thing that could save America is a great return to the biblical edicts and the biblical preachings. Otherwise, we're finished. That's all. We're going to be nothing. Nothing. We're already almost nothing. Let's go to the Savage Nation callers. Helen in Georgia, you make the show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. What a privilege to speak with you. I am calling you because I recall your story when you talked about your angel intercedence, the black angel, the person that was almost going to run you over with a bicycle.
Oh, my God. I was just stepping off the curb on the Embarcadero in San Francisco, and a bicyclist was speeding in the wrong direction, almost killed me. I got into a shouting match with him, and the thug was coming towards me with evil intent when a black angel appeared on the street and intervened and tried to speak reason to the two men and then disappeared literally like into the air. I remember that very well. So tell me why you're thinking of that tonight.
I'm calling because when you told that story, I have a book. There's a woman here that claims that angels come to her and she sketches them. And in this book that I have is a picture of a black angel, kind of like a Jimi Hendrix looking thing with sort of some white flecks, you know, in the big hair.
I swear to God, he looked like Jimi Hendrix and he had white flecks in his hair. Remember I said that?
Yes, I do. And if I can get an address, I'll make.
Wow. No, I believe that angels exist. I swear to you. I know I'm a man with a science background and all. I have reason to believe angels exist. I know the devil exists. I just turned the TV on. There they are with lipstick and high heels and the eyes. I swear to you. Yeah. Stay on the line. Guys, give her the address for the Talk Radio Network office. I want to see that picture. Can I tell you a quick side story about an angel? I know you don't want to hear it. I got to tell you this. I'm trying to, like, divorce it, though, of the actual people because I don't want to embarrass them. Okay, I'll start with a stranger told someone I know that she was giving birth in a hospital, and during the most difficult moments of her pregnancy, a nun appeared. Her name was Mother. She helped soothe the woman who was giving birth and then disappeared from the waiting room thereafter. And a day later, when the woman, you know, was recovering with her baby, she asked who the nun was, and they said to her, there was no nun here. I will tell you that I heard the very same story from another woman within my own family, and that we looked for that woman named Mother, and she was nowhere to be found. And I'll tell you another story about a nun. I was in the hospital last year with a rather minor nothing, but it scared me anyway. CAT scan, blah, blah, blah. In the recovery room, there came a nun who was very kind to me, and when I got out of the emergency room, she was leaving. She was in the parking lot. I ran after her. I ran up to her, and I said to her, who are you? What is your name? Can I help you? I reached for the money in my pocket. I offered to give her whatever I had in my pocket. She wouldn't take it. I said, where can I reach you? And she gave me the name of a nunnery somewhere. I don't know where she was. I called it. They never heard of her. You think we're all crazy? Well, think about it and get back to me.
Angel, angel, oh, oh.
Smile down on me and say,
York, I got Virginia Beach, I got a Houston, I got an Albany. So already the business is good, the tent is open, people are poking their noses in. They were saying, well, wait a minute, where's Savage today? I don't hear any screaming and yelling, I hear no anger, I hear no rage. Why is he not thundering at the pulpit? Why is he not saying that it's all going to come down unless we do X, Y, and Z? The answer is because I'm not. Stay tuned on your local affiliate, and of course, with God's will and your listenership,